testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
Teaching today, and we're calling it The Will of Man Being Restored. The Will of Man Being Restored. One of the things that happened when Adam and Eve rebelled, the result was in the fall that they found that they had a will. They had to decide whether they go their own way or they follow God. And as we know, that the Lord took the initiative in which to cover them from their sin. So God was there restoring them, working under these conditions. But they were still subject to the fact that they had a will. And of course, when God planted them in the Garden of Eden, they could enjoy and have everything and every blessing and all the fruit of the garden, except one tree that they were not to touch. See, God was trying. He was seeing what they would do, whether they would really obey him, trust him, and that what he has said they were not to do. You see, this is what God does with us. God can do this because he is sovereign. And there's always a reason for everything that God does. And the same, of course, for Adam. And unfortunately, they fell, they sinned, and they realize that they had a will, and they can make right or wrong choices. And we know this because in time when Adam and Eve had their own children, we know Cain and Abel, we see the first murder where Cain rises up and slays his brother Abel. And this was because of jealousy, but there we see he had a choice. He could have stopped himself, but he chose not to. So they're the results of what happens when we choose our own way and not God's way. And of course, Israel is a classic example of all of this. Israel chose to disobey God. It was her sinful self-will. And of course, Isaiah has much to say about that. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. And he says here, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." So God says quite clearly, I've chosen a nation, I've chosen children, I've chosen a family, I've chosen sons, in other words. But he says, they have rebelled against me. In other words, they've chosen to do that. We see further in the same chapter of Isaiah 19 and 20. Isaiah 19 and 20. "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So Israel was faced with choices, decisions, whether to trust the Lord, obey him, or go their own way, their own course. What were they up against? They were up against their will, their willfulness. This was what was being exposed. And of course, nothing changes. Even though we're under a new covenant, a covenant of mercy and blessing by God, but that principle is still in operation. God is still encouraging us to follow and do it his way. And he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. In other words, you will be blessed. You will be blessed of God. And that principle is still in operation. We somehow tend to think that this was only with Israel under the old covenant, but it isn't. That principle is still here with us today, which we're going to highlight and bring out. You see, sin brought about a choice. And it's a choice simply of just how to sin. That's all it is. Since man fell, he has a choice in which way he's going to sin. But he's sinning, and that's the only free will he has until God touches his life. And it's exactly the same today. It was the same with you and I. We were simply choosing which way to sin until God said, enough. And so now he teaches us how to trust him, how to harmonize our will with his will. You see, the unwillingness to surrender one's will and bring it into harmony with God is the cause of so much affliction. And I'm going to speak primarily to the Christian church. We know what it does in the world there. We see it all around us. We see what the will of man is doing. It's destroying himself. But when it comes to those who profess themselves as believers and the house of God, we still sadly see a lot of affliction going on. You see, the reason that we have denominationalism, all these different religions, is because man has not chosen to harmonize his will with God's will. The reason that we have so much error and heresy in Christendom is because man is willful. He wants to do it his way. We have cults and all these things that have gone on. They're all signs that man has gone out of the will of God. Rebellion. He doesn't want to do God's will. And so it brings all this adversity, it brings sickness and defeat, depression, oppression, and sadly so many lives characterize this as believers who profess Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And they make all excuses for the trials or whatever it is they're going through, but it could well be that they're not willing to surrender to God's will. We've already read it to you, and what Isaiah said the same over Israel. If you obey me, trust me, then you will eat the fruit of the land. In other words, you will be blessed. And he means exactly what he means. You see, it's a great problem when a saint is not fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. They become vulnerable to Satan and to his influences and control. And I have seen this, sadly, so many times over the years as a pastor. Those that once fellowship with us, embrace the deeper life teaching and everything, that go off or into error or whatever it is because they don't want to yield to the will of God. Wish to God more Christians would take this seriously in their life. We have to take this seriously in our lives if we want to be those first fruits, those wise virgins that are coming forward. We have to be honest about our wills. We can be very willful when we want our own way. And so that's why they take a wrong course in their lives. They go down the wrong road, the wrong avenue. And oh, they believe that that's God. They believe God has shown them. They've had scriptures to confirm it, visions and so forth. Well, the enemy comes in like an angel of light. The question is, are you submitting to the will of God? Because if you're not, then you are subject, you are open to the devil's lies. And he'll get in. And he sadly does. And then there's a blockage in hearing what God is saying. They no longer are hearing the word of God because the heart is being affected. There it is, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower in many ways is because man is willful, doesn't want to do God's will. And so the seed cannot remain. It cannot get planted in the heart for faith to please God. And that's why they become vulnerable to oppression. There's far too much oppression in the house of God. I know over the years as a minister have had to deal with it. And there's a place for deliverance. There's a place to minister. But there's a lot I ministered to. They didn't really at the end of the day want to do the will of God. They didn't want to keep the door closed. They still wanted to enjoy the world and the pleasures of sin. But at the same time, they wanted to follow God and they wanted to get deliverance. And it doesn't work. And what's the problem there? They have a problem surrendering to the will of God. It's not rocket science to work this out. And so they become vulnerable to oppression and sickness. You see, it's because the will isn't fully consecrated up to God. And so in areas, it's an expression of self-will or sinful self-will. And that's what it is. Many times when we have fallen short of the standard of God, it was our self-will. That was the sin. I wanted to do it my way. I wasn't going to submit to God's will. Now, brothers and sisters, I am not saying it is always easy to submit to God's will. We touched on this on Sunday. It's just simply yielding over to the Spirit and not fighting him. And let him work it through you, which he will do. You see, we have to be honest in this area. We cannot hide from this. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation speaks so often about saints who go out of the will of God. And why do they go out of the will of God? Because they want their own way. They want to do it their way. How often have we done something or done something in the house, or we find something goes wrong and we try and put it right, and we get all frustrated because it all goes wrong, it's not working properly. Do you know why? Because you didn't do it God's way. God was showing you what to do, but you chose to do it some other way. And it doesn't only apply to that, it can apply to so many things, practical things sometimes in our everyday life and living. The Holy Spirit, God will show us, he'll show you the way, but no, we're going to do it our way. That stubbornness, that refusal to submit to God's ways. And then we find it all goes wrong. We get all upset and frustrated. We lose our peace. And then in the end, we repent. We are at times our own worst enemy. We can make our walk with God so difficult. And it needn't be. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for my burden is light. All he says is, come to me. I gave a teaching a few weeks ago on it. But do we? No, because it's that self-will. I'm going to do it my way. You see, unless we are willing to surrender our whole will, then forget about praying Matthew 6 and verse 10. And we know it, the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the prayer goes on. Just don't pray it. Because that was Jesus' instructions how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The disciples ask for prayer, instruction on prayer, and the Lord opens up with the first thing. He opens up with the kingdom and he says, the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, it's two wills coming into harmony. The human and the divine. That is what it opens up with immediately there. Yet how many Christians who recite that, maybe daily, haven't a clue what they are saying there. They have no interest about the will of God being accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Until God gets hold of our lives. You see, it's hypocrisy to pray like this. And sometimes our prayers don't get answered because we're praying in hypocrisy. We don't really mean what we're saying, what we're praying. Because we've already made our own mind up. We have our will instead of God's will in this situation. And that makes us hypocrites. And the Bible shows that hypocrites means it's someone who wears a mask. You're not really revealing yourself as you are. You're masking yourself up. You're revealing yourself as somebody different. That's what it means. What does Romans chapter 2, verses 21, 22 say? Romans chapter 2, verses 21, 22. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, I do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And you who abhor idols, do you rob temples? And so it goes on. What is the apostle exposing there? He's exposing hypocrisy, double standards. They are clearly not submitted to the will of God. And that is so much of the problem that is in the house of God. And the devil uses it, and the public and society use it. And that's why people say, look, they're nothing but hypocrites in those churches. And sadly, at times, they're right. God forbid that that should be said over our lives. And the only way that we can get free from that is when we are willing to submit our will up to God. What does it say in Matthew 7 and verse 21? Matthew 7 verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There it is, the Lord's Prayer. And many will prophesy, he says. Many will perform miracles and cast out demons and do many works and wonders in his name. And he says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So when we don't submit to the will of God, it is lawless. Rebellious. That's what he means there. So he says there are many who will say they do all these things in my name. But he says, I don't know you. It's pretty frightening, all of this, when you read this, because the Lord means what he says there. So God forbid that that would be found of us. What is it saying in verse 23? And it goes on at verse 24. And this is a lot of the problem. Why this happens, he goes on in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. In other words, they desired to do God's will. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descends and the floods came and the whole and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. In other words, what he's saying is, yes, I want to do the will of God, but they don't really hear. They're not taking it serious. They don't take it away and pray and seek God about it. What does it say in Philippians, the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter 3 verse 9, Philippians 3 and verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And he goes on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So in other words, what is being said here is that not my own willfulness, my own rebelliousness, but to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, in other words, my own way, my trying to work out my salvation, me worshipping God how I see it, how I want to do it. Because if you do that, then you bring yourself under the law. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So there we are. When we do the will of God, we desire God's will, it quickens our faith. It feeds our faith. We have a faith to believe when we do the will of God. When we harmonize our will with his will, then we don't battle all this unbelief. He gives us that childlike faith to believe. That's what it means. And we know that the heart has to be touched in all of this. Because that's the key to this. As it says in Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse 6. Mark 7 and verse 6. And he answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as is written, 'This people honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So in other words, instead of the commandments of God, they're more interested in man's traditions, man's religious ways. And of course, that was the Pharisees' problem. "They honour with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Why is that a problem? What is the symptom of that? It is very simple. They do not choose to do God's will. You see, to do God's will, you've got to have a heart, an affection, a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not be there yet with regards to that, but we know that because we love him and he loves me, therefore I have settled that. I have surrendered my will in harmony with his will. And I know that that's going to be a process. It's going to be a work. And sometimes I may fall on my face. But whatever happens, that is what I choose to do. That is the walk that I want. Then God can begin to work. And believe me, he does work. Because you've sat down and you've seen that you have enough to finish. You see, you're like a building that's in progress. You're being built. The house of God is being built. And so the foundation has to be right in order to build. And your foundation has to be right, secure, for God to build in your life. And that foundation can only be right by the surrendering to the will of God. It will not stand otherwise. Because those trials, those winds, those temptations, whatever, will find fault in it. It'll find weaknesses in the structure and the foundation. I can guarantee it. But when you will to do God's will, then your foundation is firm, is secure. And you know it is. And how do you know? Because you stand through the trials. And you know your faith says, "I will come out the other end," as hard as it can be. You see, here's an example. The Holy Spirit has baptized us in the Spirit, and all of us, we experience this. We all either asked for the baptism of the Spirit or had the laying on of hands. And what was happening there? There was a perfect union of two wills, the divine and the human coming together. And so when you were baptized in the Spirit, what did you do? You simply yielded your voice over to God to start to speak in tongues as he gave utterance. There you are. That's what you did. That's what I did. I knew, you knew, you've got to yield your voice over to the Spirit. There it is. That's the will of God. And as a result, you spoke in the Spirit as he gives utterance. And that's what you do. That's what you've done today. If you've been in prayer or praying in the Spirit, there is the divine and the human in agreement coming together in union. And that's what it is, brothers and sisters. It's not striving, fighting against it. Fighting against God. Those days have got to stop because time is too near to keep arguing and falling out with God's will. We're getting so close now to the coming of the Lord. With the rapid fall now in the world, we're seeing it all around us. We have to yield to this and mean business with this. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 40? You know this psalm very well. Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. 40, verses 6 to 8. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. There you are. God says, I don't want all this offerings. I don't want all this sacrifice. I don't want all this works and whatever. I delight in the will of God. That's what he says. He's found what God delights in. He's found the heart of his Father. It's doing your will. And he says, and your law is within my heart, because the word has to be there in the heart in which to do the will of God. Now I know that God is requiring of each of us a surrendering of the will in areas. And the problem is sometimes there's still that unbelief, that not sure to trust God. And that is why we have the word of God, the promises of God's word, in order so that we can surrender to the will of God. That is what faith does. Faith enables us to surrender and trust and believe God. And we're going to have to do this, brothers and sisters. We know the arm of the flesh is failing. Man is failing. You cannot trust now in much what you hear or from your politicians and medical science and what it is. They're all at variance. They're all confused. I mean, nothing is more evident than over this COVID-19. The utter confusion. And I tell you, all that has done, that has made me trust God and his word. And so you yield your will over to him. Lord, I'm going to trust you completely in this. And so God begins to work, and he'll begin to remove any hindrances that hinders your will in doing his will, because your will has to be in perfect harmony with him. There's no strife in that. There's no trying to do with it. Just what I said about speaking in tongues. That's what he does. And that's what he'll do with you and I. And when you read these promises and everything, what he says there, your desire to do God's will with that. and not fight against it or allow that unbelief. I know the enemy gets very vocal. I know exactly how he works, because he's always trying to tell us God isn't faithful. But he is. He is so faithful. He doesn't give up on us. He's there encouraging, helping us. He's showing us what pleases him more than anything is doing his will. Because when we harmonize our will with his will, there is the faith. There is the rest. The promises are there. And that's how we're to walk, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what the family says. It doesn't matter what our friend says. All that matters is I live for the will of God. That is the overcomer's heart, is the will of God. As the psalmist has said here, I delight to do your will, O my God. Well, he's found something there with the Lord. And you stay with this, and you keep hearing the word of God, and you're going to find that you're going to be a delight. There's a delight in your heart to do God's will. Because you know that God's will can never, ever be wrong. God's will may be strange sometimes. God's will may be peculiar. Or it doesn't make any sense, God's will, at times. But then on the other side of that, that's what makes it God. That's what makes his will. Because we've already said to you at the beginning of this teaching, man gave his will over to the enemy. So no wonder there are times when God wants us to do a thing, he's showing us to do his will. It doesn't make any sense. And the reason it doesn't make any sense, because we live in a fallen world. And this fallen world doesn't understand the will of God. It doesn't only understand it, but it's not even interested in the will of God. You were not interested in the will of God until God touched your life and said, you go no further. And he turns us around. And then we begin to see that God is going to work in us both to will do for his good pleasure. He begins to work the affection within our hearts to do his will. As the psalmist says, I delight to do your will, O my God. God can and does put that affection within our hearts to do his will. And I believe that would characterize the true overcomer, the saint of God. There is just something there that you cannot rest until you surrender, submit to the will of God. Because if you don't surrender to it, your life is hypocrisy. Your life is a lie. And God forbid that that should ever be in our lives. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. The will of man being restored. That's why I always hold to the fact that we're in the time of restoration. We are being restored. We're being brought back. And one of the things in restoration is we're being brought back with our wills so that our wills are in harmony with God's will. They're one. Because as I said on Sunday, we have received the fullness of God. He lives within our heart, in our life. We are one with him. So that oneness means his will is my will. And so everything I say, I do, I pray, is in harmony with his will. Now, brothers and sisters, this is an experience we're entering into. And you're going to experience this if you stay with this. You're going to find this is very powerful with God. This is what's going to be seen in the last days when our lives are in harmony with God's will. Because God's presence is with you wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do. Just as the presence was with Jesus, the Father was with him, so the Spirit of God is with us. You will know you are not separated from him. You're in perfect harmony in his will. And I believe he's working that. And I believe we will want that. Then he's going to do that. Because that's what's going to enable us to stand in these last days. Don't make the mistake that Israel made. Because she was stiff-necked, proud. She wanted to do it her way. We cannot do it our own way anymore. We must always seek the ways of God. They are far, far better because that is where blessing, that is where healing and deliverance is, in the will of God. This is where God will raise us up because we're doing his will. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us again. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in us both to will do for your good pleasure. Lord, help us not to resist you, but to just allow our wills to harmonize with your will. As we meditate, as we hear your word and we read your word, as we seek you in prayer, Father, help us, Lord, not to resist you. We will always fall flat on our face if we try and do anything independently from you. And Lord, at times we've done it. But Lord, you're ever merciful and gentle and loving, bringing us back and showing us that your way is always the best way. So thank you, Father. And Lord, bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters, Lord. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
To me.